When women are paid less, the effects compound into retirement. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, there's news. The Trump administration is rolling out new rules designed to allow more consumers to buy health insurance that don't meet Obamacare requirements, meaning some will not cover pre-existing conditions. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
One of the new regulations would let employers give workers money to buy health insurance on the Obamacare exchanges. The Obama administration did not allow that because of fears that employers would push their sickest workers onto the exchanges. Another new rule allows states to offer cheaper insurance plans that skirt some Affordable Care Act requirements. These plans could appeal to younger, healthier consumers, but that could leave more older, sicker people in the more comprehensive plans that do not meet Affordable Care Act requirements like coverage of pre-existing conditions.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you. Let's check the markets. The FTSE in London is down 0.9%. The German DAX down nearly 2%. The key index in Hong Kong fell more than 3%. Here, the S&P future is down 1.3%, a hint of a turbulent day to come. Women make 80 cents for every dollar made by men, and a new calculation from the American Association of University Women shows this compounds and follows women into retirement. Marketplace's Erica Barris reports from WESA in Pittsburgh.
Even before they enter the workforce, women tend to accrue more debt than men. First, to finance education, they'll take out larger loans. And according to Heidi Hartman with the Institute for Women's Policy Research, that means more repayments, more interest, and...
So they do have more debt, and they do have a harder time paying it off.
That's because, first, salary negotiations really matter and can have lifelong financial implications, following women from their first paycheck all the way to their Social Security checks. Beth Humbert, a professor at the University of Massachusetts Lowell, says often men and women start out with the same degrees, credentials, even titles, but at a salary difference. Then...
In most professions, you get a salary increase each year or, you know, every so often years, a raise that's based on that initial factor. So the cleanest reason is really just exponential increases with time.
Across industries, women also tend to take more time off for family, and that increases the pay gap. So when it's time for women to retire, for many, their debt is not yet retired. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
President Trump has repeated to reporters an unsubstantiated claim that congressional Republicans will roll out a 10% tax cut for middle-class Americans before the midterm elections. Trump said it would not be an executive order from him, but that it would go through Congress, which is in recess through the midterms. Congressional leaders are indicating they know nothing of such a plan. We recently heard from Fran in New York, New York, who wanted to let us know that she appreciates Marketplace's in-depth reporting and that we help her better understand the economic and political issues of the day. To join Fran in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible. It was the famed conservative economist Milton Friedman's original formulation about economic stimulus: throw money out of a helicopter so that individuals get it directly, metaphorically speaking. Well, it turns out there are a lot of 20 and 30-somethings in America who might like to get one of those money-laden helicopters to fix education. University of Chicago political science professor Kathy Cohen is founder of Gen Forward, a regular scientific survey that pays special attention to the race and gender of respondents. Professor, hi.
Hello, David.
So, Kathy, I used to know a comedian who had this shtick. He'd discuss some problem, any problem, and then ask, what's my point? More money for education, he would say, is the answer to every single problem. That's, in a sense, what you found when the question is education.
I think that's true. Clearly, millennials have seen his routine. When we ask young people any number of questions about the best way to improve public education, they always circle back to increasing funding for public education. So they want to pay teachers more. They want to invest in neighborhood schools. And overall, they want to give more funding to public education.
And one of the features of your survey is that you do glean data based on the race of the respondent and the gender. What did you find? Was there a difference depending on who was answering?
In this case, it doesn't seem to matter very much. Overwhelming young people, I don't want to say independent of race and ethnicity, but with their races and ethnicities, support this idea of increasing funding for education on any number of dimensions. So this is a pretty consistent finding that seems to kind of extend across race and ethnicity.
And how would your respondents use the money if there were more money for education?
Well, they do a number of different things, right? There is a clear sense in the findings that young people believe that the most effective way to impact public education is through really those kind of relationships in the classroom, that if given a priority with a limited amount of money, they want to give it to teachers, they want to support teachers, they want to strengthen teachers' unions.
What about views of, if it's not exactly public school, I'm talking about private school, but also talking about the charter school movement?
Yeah, it's complicated, I guess I would say, in the sense that young people are looking to improve education, so they're supporting any number of strategies. They are supportive of increasing the number of charter schools. They are supportive of providing vouchers using government funds for, in particular, low-income students. But I want to go back and say, when given a list that says, here are a number of options for improving public education, they choose investing in public education at the local level.
Always good to talk about the latest results from this Gen Forward survey. The survey's founder is University of Chicago political science professor Kathy Cohen. Kathy, thank you.
Thank you.
Today, we also poke at the worsening odds that led to this week's Mega Millions jackpot reaching $1.6 billion. Marketplace.org if you missed that on the air. Also, imagine playing the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What will be the chances of that winning? Well, the same as for any other combination of numbers in the Mega Millions. Just saying, the technical term for those odds is remote. Our producers are Michael Lipkin, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.